Tuesday morning, and my car guru is on the air, and we're pleased to be joined live and direct from studio in Studio A here at Lenny Lawson.
You know, when I hear that lady say, tell it like it is, it makes me sometimes I think about the old slang that used to be popular back when I was in junior high school. And, you know, everybody, you have these different greetings, you know, that go, you know, as you get older. Like, I think, like, now the greeting is, sup, mm-hmm. you know, like, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, back then, it was, maybe you never heard this, is they would say, what it is.
Yeah, what it is, man.
Have you heard that one?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So that wasn't colloquial to Central West Virginia?
No, I heard it when I was back in the 70s when I was in elementary and high school.
Okay.
I heard that quite
okay.
a bit. Well, I won't claim it. Is.
I won't claim it then.
You know. But yeah, you're right. A lot of different
probably came from the West Coast or the East Coast. We used to think that everything started on the West Coast
mm-hmm.
or the East Coast and then moved to all of us in the middle mm-hmm. over time. Boy, I had a paradigm shift this morning. I'm over it now. I've been in a celebratory mood for the last half of my drive up here. But as soon as I pull out of my driveway this morning, I get this text message that one of my good friends has died. And I'm just, you know, in shock. I guess when you hear something like that, you know, the first, you don't know how to react. You know, you just sit mm-hmm. there and your mind is racing and so forth. And then, so I called a very strong mutual friend and asked him if he had heard anything. Does he know anything about it? And he said no. And we were both just, you know, talking about some of the health issues and stuff that had been going on. And then not too long after that, I get a call back from, or not call back, but a message and it says that no, it wasn't him that died. It was somebody else with a similar name.
Hmm.
And, I mean, here I am going down the road, and I've got a big lump in my throat and tears forming in my, literally forming in my eyes at that moment because mm-hmm. I kept getting myself deeper and deeper. You know how you mm-hmm. you take yourself down the rat hole, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's back. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful. I do feel for the family who did lose a family member. But anyway, that was it took me from basically Sulphur Springs to recover myself.
Yeah. See, that's the thing about the world we live in now. It's great that we're in technology where information can be passed around so much easier now. But don't you think it can be easier for information to get, as the word we said the other day, discombobulated?
Oh, yeah. Bit. Yeah, it gets mm-hmm. skewed. You know, people mm-hmm. Misinterpret something. You know, they hear a... I guess it's better to investigate before you spread it out, you know, and make sure that something like that is true before you spread it. You know, we spread a lot of truisms on this show. I'm not saying I know everything. I don't, especially about, you know, the car business. Don't know everything about anything, you know. I know a lot about a few things,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's a good way to be, know a lot about a few things.
Yeah. And, you know, car business and the way it operates. And, you know, you wouldn't want me to disassemble your engine, you know, to pull it out.
Oh, I thought I was maybe thinking about asking you to do that maybe next
no.
week for me.
No, I've been involved. And in, I remember one time I was restoring a 1978 Toyota FJ40.
Mm-hmm.
I found the thing in Texas. I've been looking. It's back when you could buy them fairly cheaply. They were starting to appreciate. There was a lot of just crazy numbers that these vehicles were bringing on at auctions. I mean, in excess of $100,000. So I felt like I had a lot of headroom on this thing. So I found it, bought it out of Texas. It was yellow. And brought it back to my dealership and unloaded it off the truck and decided to go ahead with a full restoration. I didn't realize the engine was going to be smoking, though, when I but I'm going down the road and I look in the background, I'm revving it up, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I see, ooh, that's not good. Blue smoke, you know, coming out the mm-hmm. back. So the oil was getting burned in the combustion chamber, which is not where oil is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that necessitated about a $6,000 engine overhaul. But anyway, I ended up doing pretty good on it. I ended up selling it for about 70 think it's about 75,000. I didn't make, I actually think I had about 73,000, and it just shows you how those things can get out of control. Paid 17 for it.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up having about 73,000 in it. Whew. All in, all done.
Goodness.
And sold it for 75. I thought I was going to be able to sell it for 100.
Mm-hmm.
But also didn't think I'd end up with $73,000 in it. But right. One of the things I enjoyed doing, though, and the beginning of my story was I disassembled all of the sheet metal on that car as far as I could take it with my mm-hmm. with my skills. And I've learned several things. I've learned that it's a lot easier to take something apart than it is to put it back together. I am so impressed with a mechanic, with a technician.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they're electrical technician or an automobile mechanic. You know, I have so much respect for those people who work in a service department and can disassemble an engine. They work in these, in our case, we have an air conditioned shop with LED lighting. You know, it's not as nice as what you'd see at a Porsche dealership or a brand new Nissan dealership or something, but it's a nice shop. You know, we built it in 2007. It's a nice environment. But some of these conditions that these guys work in and what they can do,
mm-hmm.
With a set of Craftsman tools,
mm-hmm.
They disassemble these things and I just respect these folks who can fix something, not just replace a part. You know, we call them parts changers in the car business. You know, got mechanics that they think they know what's wrong with something, so they start changing parts instead of actually mm-hmm. digging in a little deeper,
mm-hmm.
Using years of knowledge and intuition to identify a problem. And so this technology, I've watched it. I've been in this long enough to see several transitions. You know, one of those transitions was from the way fuel is delivered to an engine. You know, years ago, it was always carburetors,
mm-hmm.
And have you ever rebuilt a carburetor?
Never.
No. I mean, it's, there's a lot of little teeny bitty, itty bitty parts in a carburetor. And
jets and that kind of stuff.
And I'd watch these technicians just blow these things apart on their workbench. They'd lay out a shop rag or a fender cover. And they would lay out all these parts, and I would sit there and watch them and say, how in the world are you going to put that back together? They would say, done it so many times, I can do it with my eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
Do it
in my sleep. Yeah.
That's just so impressive.
Makes you appreciate Goober from the Andy Griffith Show a lot, doesn't it? Remember when he took that car apart and put it back together?
I do remember that episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he took it apart on the street and put it in the courthouse and put it back together.
But there are a lot of people that make this... make a business like a car dealership work. My first job was in the shop, just cleaning up messes, and then I gravitated or was promoted to the head flunky in the parts department, and that used to amaze me too. How these guys, the knowledge that these guys had in their head. You know, back then we had these huge just racks of books. We didn't really have computers, or they didn't. They just used these manuals. Have you seen them in this?
Chilton car manual.
Yeah, and they were just mm-hmm. one right after the other, and they knew exactly where to look. I said, how do you know where to look? He mm-hmm. said, I've done it a bunch of times,
Some of those things were really thick, those Chilton car manuals.
Well, imagine a Chilton spread out mm-hmm. like 20 times, and, mm-hmm. and those big catalogs, and they would know, and a mechanic would walk up to this parts counter, and I would be the only one standing there, and they'd just look at me and say, well, I don't need to ask you what I need, or for what I need. I said, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, pal.
I'll just jump out here in my Chevy Love truck and deliver parts. So, there's a lot of different parts and pieces to a car dealership. What I can do is to guide folks, in the right direction. Had a gentleman send me a very long message on Facebook Messenger, and he's got a situation. He's not well. His wife is not well, and they need help. They need an answer, to help them solve a problem. And so when I get those, Tim, I enjoy the opportunity to help somebody solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can help, if I can be part of the solution, then I want to do that. If you've got an issue with a car or with thinking about buying a car for that matter, then reach out to me because I'm more than happy to assist. I know you may not want to buy what I sell, and that's fine. That's what this radio show is about. We try to remain somewhat independent, although we do run some Gateway Ford commercials at the breaks. I try to remain non-biased. I know there's a lot of good products out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be a loyal Toyota person,
mm-hmm.
But you can still pay too much for one. You can still, Toyota's break. You know, that Toyotas have problems. They have issues. You know, their reputation for quality is very good and well-deserved in a lot of respects. But, you know, it's a pretty much a level playing field now. Honda's the same way, Subaru. But if you're interested in those types of things, you're wanting some direction, I can provide that. So don't hesitate to send me a message. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. And a lot of people use it. Some people don't. They'll call the dealership and leave a message or something like that, and that's fine. But if you text or if you don't, you know, feel free to text or to call, and I'll see what I can do to help solve your problem.
10-4-552-2020.
It's a good number, isn't it? Be a great number for an optometrist.
It is 2020. Of course, people have, you know, memories of 2020 from last year being a very memorable year, don't they?
You know, maybe I need to change my number.
Nah.
It's memorable in a bad way.
Yeah, but, you know.
See, you just ruined it for me.
No, Tim. We've moved on now. We've moved on.
Have we moved on?
2020 is a good number for your phone.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's see.
I feel better now.
Okay. Real good. So you've been up and down twice today now. All right. We'll take our first break and we'll come back. All right, we're back here. It's Tuesday morning on My Car Guru as we talk about various and sundry things.
I think the easiest way to get one of the new Ford Broncos is when they come up, or when they come out. They're finally on the lot. Somebody's probably ordered it, and it's sitting back in the shop. You need to just break in, cut through the fence, and steal it. It's about the only way you're going to get one, unless you are on the list. Am I encouraging bad behavior?
I was going to say, don't encourage these people now. That want to do that kind of thing.
So, folks, I had a good customer listener to the radio show, and he's from up in Virginia, and he said, I'm really interested in one of those new Broncos. And I said, well, he says, do you have any brochures and stuff like that? And I said, well, I'd love to send you a brochure, but there really aren't any. Why don't you just go online? He said, well, we don't go online. I said, well, can I send something to your phone? He said, well, I use a flip phone. I said, okay, let's do this the old-fashioned way. I will print out a brochure, and I will mail it to you. So that's what I did yesterday.
Sound like you about had to suggest, I've got a horse I can send up there on Pony Express.
Well, I mean, it literally wore out my, it used all of the ink in my color printer. It was 17 pages long, okay?
Yeah, that'll wear out a
color. And it was laying, and he wanted to be able to see the colors, so I knew I had to do it in color.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're listening, it's on the way, as long as the United States Postal Service can find your address. So
check's in the mail. So.
But the Bronco is the weirdest thing that I've ever seen in the car business. This is a first. You know, here they started showing pictures and rumors several years ago and started building the momentum. And then you had all these forums pop up online with showing all of the supposed pictures and renderings of what this thing was going to look like. And then finally they introduce it. People freak out. And they open up the website so that you can go in and make a reservation. Now, when I make a reservation, I'm usually calling a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I make an appointment, I'm usually going to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, these are called reservations, and the only way that you're going to get a Ford Bronco. Now, I'm not talking about the Bronco Sport. Bronco Sports are going to be available.
That's what I was going to ask you. Have you had any of the Bronco Sports?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And we've got several more coming. The chip shortage we've talked about, the integrated circuit, okay? These are little computer chips is really impacting the auto industry in a big way because every car uses so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shutting down factories. They just shut down the F-150 plant in Indiana. So that's not a good thing because they don't have enough chips. I wish they needed Lay's potato chips, but it's just not that.
Plenty of those.
It's not that. Plenty of potatoes out there. Mm-hmm. No potato famine going on. So anyway.
That's what they need to invent is a chip that you can make from a potato, see?
There you go.
Not a potato chip.
There you go.
But an integrated circuit you can make from a potato.
That would be great. You know, if you got tired of computing something, you could just snack on it.
Sure.
But anyway, what's going on now is troublesome, but it's going to have an impact for some time. I wish there was some way that we could manufacture those things in the United States on some type of a volume level. Maybe that's what Biden needs to do is build some chip factories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsor some of that. We'll have a place to let all these foreigners work when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But anyway, we've got a situation where we've got this Bronco and the Bronco Sport, and there's some misunderstanding as to what's what. So the Bronco Sport is based on the Ford Escape platform. It is a unibody vehicle. That's not a bad thing. That's just like a Honda Pilot, a Subaru Forester, Honda Accord, you know, even the Ford Explorer is a unibody. So the body, the sheet metal, is the frame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's built on that type of a platform. They're going to be more readily available. They're also less expensive. That's the Bronco Sport. It's not as big as the Bronco. Do you remember the O.J. Simpson Bronco?
Yeah, and that's what kind of delayed things there for a while with the Bronco.
Yeah, well, the O.J.'s, they wanted to avoid that
right.
anniversary. But the O.J. Simpson Bronco was a full-size two-door Bronco based on the F-150 mm-hmm. platform, okay? That, you know, that came out in the late 70s, that full-size Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been several iterations of the Bronco, the Bronco 2 and so forth. But I want people to understand that the full-size Bronco is not coming out. It is not, doesn't exist. The Bronco, it's just called Bronco. It's not a Bronco Sport. The Bronco itself is based on the platform of the Ford Ranger, which is the new Ford Ranger that we have, which is a truck
mm-hmm.
with a body-on-frame type construction. So there is a literal frame, you know, that has frame rails from front to back that the engine and the chassis and everything it is attached to, and then they set a body down on top of that,
mm-hmm.
like a truck, okay? Mm-hmm. That's how the Bronco is built. Bronco Sports are already out. You know, dealers are selling. There's not a bunch of them out there, but they're out. The Bronco itself won't start manufacturing until May. So there are no Broncos out there. Let me rephrase that. There are. Ford has built 99 2021 Broncos. But you'll see them on the road. You'll see them at shows and stuff like that. But they belong to Ford. And they will be used as test vehicles for Ford Motor Company
mm-hmm.
and will never be sold to the public. Now, they may end up in somebody's garage. You know, some Ford executive or somebody that's real important may end up with one of these cars. But they will never be sold retail. And they are being used as, you know, for crash tests, too. They had to build, I don't know how many they have to crash in order to, you know, meet the... see how the airbags work and all that, but they will be slamming a lot of these brand new Broncos into a wall, you know, to see how it does from a side impact, rear impact, frontal, offset frontal, all these different tests have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a Bronco right now, you still have to go to the website and reserve one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Ford has, I think last I heard is like 180,000 reservations for the Bronco. So if you say they have 180,000, if you order one today, you will be 180,001.
Mm-hmm.
So 180,000 people get their Bronco before you do.
So it's going to be a while.
Yes. And that's unfortunate.
It is, yeah.
But they, you know, several factors, COVID,
yeah,
chip shortage, and high demand. It's just completely out of control. So if you want one, reserve one. You know, you pay a $100 deposit. If you end up changing your mind, then you'll get your $100 back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is possible that somebody who reserved one will not be taking it. We have a few of those. If you are interested in getting one of those, you would be way earlier in the queue if you end up doing that. So you can give us a call or send me a text, 552-2020. Don't call the dealership. Just call me, and I'll see what is available. There have been a couple of them that I know of, and there's probably a few more of the reservations of somebody that may be reserved two that really is only going to take one.
Backed out for some reason.
Yeah, so we'll try to work with you on that. So anyway, understand the difference between the Bronco Sport and the Bronco, and there is no full-size Bronco based on the F-150, and you've got a little weight on your hands if you want one. Sorry to tell you that, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to go ahead and buy that Jeep. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Okay, let's go to our last break, and we'll be back to wrap things up. All right, back here for the final minute or so of My Car Guru on this Tuesday morning.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about another new vehicle that Ford has coming out. And the reason I'm kind of focused on Ford here a little bit is because Ford is blazing a trail here with a new category that we haven't seen in a while, and it's the small truck. Now, truck, there is no such thing as a small truck anymore. All we have is mid-sized trucks and full-size trucks. They all got bigger.
Don't see any love trucks that size going
no,
around.
No, but we're getting ready to. So that's going to be a good thing. And Ford is resurrecting an old name, except the old vehicle was a passenger car. You know what it was called?
That's a tease.
Yeah. It's a Western name. There was a TV show. And I think James Garner was the actor.
Maverick
is his name.
That's
so
right.
It's going to be the Ford Maverick, and it's not going to be a car.
That's a better name for a truck anyway.
It's going to be a small truck.
Don't you think?
I'm excited about it. It's built on the Bronco Sport chassis, so it will be a unibody vehicle. Not body-on-frame truck. So it'll be a small truck that folks can use with a small bed and just perfect, you know, get 35, 40 miles to the gallon. Won't that be wonderful?
That'd be nice.
I bet I might be able to sell you and Christine one of those.
Well, you never know.
I hold my mouth right, maybe.
You just never know.
All right.
We'll get to talking more about the Maverick tomorrow. Right now, though, we're going to close out this edition of My Car Guru on a Tuesday morning.